On Midwest Week, the new members are chosen for the Quad City Sports Hall of Fame. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Don Doxey, sports columnist for the Quad City Times and Dispatch Argus. So, Don, remind us, when did you all start the Quad City Sports Hall of Fame?
It goes all the way back to 1987. The Quad City Times started this as a way to honor people from the past, and it's been very well received. Obviously, through the years, we've inducted at least three people every year since then. And I think this brings us up to 114 people, maybe, that are in the Hall of Fame now. So it's been very well received and very well accepted.
Do you happen to remember who the first inductees were way back when?
I do. We inducted five people the first year, mm-hmm. and it would have been Roger Craig, Don mm-hmm. Nelson, Jack Fleck, Elmer Layden, and the great Bob Reed, who was a tremendous football coach at Augustana. So
yeah, and
those are the first five.
I always like the fact that you guys get what you might call current people and people that go back, 50, 60 or more years, back in the early days here.
Yeah, we try to do that. We've tried to do things in the voting to encourage people to vote for people from further back, because a lot of people kind of have a sort of a recency bias where they vote for people they know or people they interviewed yesterday. And there's so many people from back in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s that we haven't honored yet that I would really like to at some point.
Okay. Now, one of the three new members this year is someone named Mike Butcher. And what has he done to earn a place in the Hall of Fame?
Mike Butcher was a great athlete at United Township High School, went on to play professional baseball. Spent 4 years with the California Angels as a pitcher back in the 1990s. His career was kind of ended prematurely. He had some arm problems and then had a hand injury. And so he really didn't – that kept him from pitching longer than he did. So he only stuck around for 4 years in the major leagues. But then he became a pitching coach and spent 14 years as a major league pitching coach. With three different teams, with the Tampa Bay Rays, with the Angels, the team he played with, and then for 4 years with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So he is, he made quite a name for himself in baseball, but stuck around professional baseball for 34 years as a player and coach.
And I always wonder about stuff like that, Don, because you figure if somebody gets up to the major leagues, they're a pretty good pitcher to begin with. So what can a coach like Mike Butcher do to make them better?
Mike is a guy who really, really struggled. He didn't get to the major leagues till he was 27. He played around, tried a lot of different pitches. He was used as a starting pitcher and then a relief pitcher. And I think having to really battle and fight just to get to the major leagues, he learned a great deal. And that made him a great coach. He was, he had a lot of knowledge and knew what it took to get there, that it wasn't an easy thing to get to the major leagues. And I think that helped him as a coach to, guide other young pitchers and how to get there.
And I remember reading somewhere that somebody said some of the great players didn't always make good coaches because they sort of were great naturally and didn't really, know what it took to get there.
Absolutely. It came too easily to him. And Butcher's a guy where maybe it didn't come that easily. He really had to work and fight to get there. And I think that people like that make better coaches sometimes.
Now, the second person on the list this year is Gray Giovanni. I happen to know that name pretty well. What did he accomplish?
Gray, of course, is the basketball coach at Augustana for 21 years, just retired last year. The winningest coach in the history of the school. I think his career record is 433-150. Won 10 CCIW championships. Was in the NCAA championship game twice. There was a period of, I think, 6 years from 2014 to 2019 where he won 17 NCAA tournament games. Nobody in any division won more games in that time period in postseason than he did. So was National Coach of the Year three times, so just had a great career there at Augustana. He had he actually been a Division I coach for 6 years before that at Lamar University. Gray is a guy who just, because he just retired, he just showed up on our ballot this year, and immediately was the number one vote getter. Mm-hmm. If there is such a thing in our process as a first ballot Hall of Famer, he was it.
So any wild guess as to why he was so successful, Don? I know I ask you this every year, but
that's a really good question, and I don't know. It's interesting that Gray was so successful at a lower level, Division III, so much more so than he was at a higher level. And it's kind of an intangible thing. I don't know that it's just as simple as X's and O's, although he certainly was very good at that. His father was a legendary high school coach in Illinois for a long time. So he grew up with coaching and everything. And I just had a feel for how to bring out the best in people and did it for a really long time.
And what's the difference between Division I and Division III as far as coaching goes? Is it pretty much the same job either level?
Well, I don't think it is at all. Division I, you've got tons of assistants. You've got 13 scholarships. Division III, you can't give scholarships. You're bringing guys in, and they're paying their own way. I mean, maybe they're getting some other academic scholarships or something, but you're bringing in guys who are playing not because they're looking at the NBA or something. They just love basketball, and so you're dealing with a different kind of athlete, and you coach them differently, I think, as a result.
Now, the third person this year for the Sports Hall of Fame is Christine Thorburn. What did she do?
Christine's a very interesting story. She grew up in Bettendorf, was a pretty good distance runner at Pleasant Valley High School. She never won state titles or anything, but she was usually in the top 10 in the state and cross country, and also in the 3,000 meters in track, and was pretty good for a year or two in Division III at Grinnell College, and then kind of gave it up and seemed to be done as an athlete. And in her late 20s, while attending medical school at Stanford, she took up cycling, and within 6 years was in the Olympics. So she ended up competing in both the 2004 and 2008 Olympics. And both times just missed the bronze medal. She finished fourth in 2004. And then in 2008, she finished fifth, but she was only 3 seconds away from a bronze medal. So kind of an agonizing thing, really, to be that close to earning an Olympic medal twice and not quite getting there. But really, really an inspirational story just because she took it up so late. She was, in her late 20s by the time she even took up cycling, and ended up being one of the best in the world for a 6 or 8 year period there.
Now, is she still involved in sports in some way?
She is a little bit. She is on the selection committee for the USA cycling team, actually. Mm-hmm. No, she's a doctor. She's a rheumatologist in Palo Alto, California. She stayed out there where Stanford is, and very highly respected, and obviously an extremely intelligent woman, class valedictorian in high school and everything, but is become very successful as a doctor.
And what about the ceremony this year, Don? Will you guys have one?
There will not be a salute to sports this year. They've decided just with the pandemic to hold off another year. Mm-hmm. But there will be a sort of a virtual thing that will appear on the Quad City Times website sometime in June. I'm not sure of the exact date, but you'll be able to go in there and view a program online that details, all of these people along with everything about the top high school athletes in the area too, as always.
Okay, and remind us once again, if people want to see the plaques in person, where they are?
They are on the suite level of at Modern Woodland Park in Davenport. They're down a hallway there. We might have to open a second hallway these years because there's going to be 114 of them down there now, but if you go down that one hallway, they are all down there, all of them on display, and you can, even when the River Bandits are not playing or not in town, I believe you can go up there and look at them. So it's a really nice display, well worth your time, I think.